Hi, I wanted to begin by addressing the largest criminal population in the country. And for a minute, that would be people who are Catholic. If you're out there, you know who you are. And you're criminals because you're all guilty, right? We're all guilty as Catholics. The day you're born, the day you show up on the planet, that's it. You're guilty. And then you spend the rest of your life trying to repent for it, right? Go to church every Sunday, go in that little penalty box and confess all. So it's tricky being Catholic, and maybe the only thing trickier in my mind than being just a plain Catholic is trying to teach heinous themes and pornography in literature at a private Catholic day school for girls, which I did. So it's 1988, and my fiancé and I had just finished graduate school, moved back up to Connecticut, and I was looking for a teaching job. So got an interview down in Westchester at this magnificent campus, this private Catholic day school for girls. And it had been a former estate, so it was kind of like going to a castle. And my interview was with the head of school, Sister Jean. So I show up for the interview, and Sister Jean was very serious at her task. She was rather dry and severe. And we're talking along, and she's asking me my plans, and I said, well, I'm going to get married this summer. And, you know, looking to teach literature, I love high school, and it would be a new experience for me. She goes, you're getting married this summer, Maureen? And I said, yes. Yeah. She goes, well, are you and your fiancé planning to have a family? And I thought, this is an illegal question. But what the hell? I'm going to answer her honestly. So I said, well, actually, sister, my fiancé and I practice birth control. So now I've already committed two sins during the interview. I've admitted to having premarital sex and to using birth control. So I went home and figured, I'm not going to get this job, forget this. So,
you're only practicing.
So, but they call me back, I got the job. So I got married that summer, and as it turns out, I got pregnant about 15 minutes later. So I show up at the first day of school, knocked up, figuring this is sin number three. I've kind of lied to the head of school, but, and I had a great group of girls. I had seniors, I was teaching literature and poetry. And we bonded immediately. I didn't have a collar on, and I was relatively young, so I was all set. And they were great girls, and come in every day, and they wanted to know about the honeymoon. Could we see the pictures again? You know, how was the wedding? What was your dress like? And they were a little distracted on autopilot because, frankly, their apps were in. They knew what colleges they were going to, and they were cruising through senior year. So I was dedicated, figuring this might be my last legacy to teaching, because I was going to start a family. So the year began well. We began with the Greeks, and I was trying to make it, you know, fun for them. We read the Odyssey. I drew them in with the promise of faithful dogs and lots of boating and high adventure and drugs and crazy lesbians, and so that went okay. Charles Dickens was next, not so much. Now it's time for the poetry unit, and they did not want to read poetry. They were done. Why can't we just read Danielle Steele? We're sick of school, you know. So Sister Jean had a habit of walking up and down the halls, and we had an open door policy in the school. And she'd kind of sneak around the halls and prowl, peek her head in every now and again. So we begin the poetry unit, and I had to do a mini unit on Carpe Diem poetry, 17th century poetry. So we were going to begin with Andrew Marvell, which I thought was a great idea. Carpe Diem poems, poems of great passion and sensuality. Right, so the first night I pass out to his coy mistress. I said, take this home and read it, you're gonna love it. It's kind of racy, you know. Had we but world enough and time, this coyness lady would be no crime. They take it home, they come in the next day, they're like, I don't get it. I don't like poetry. We don't know what's going on in the poem, you know, and I'm pregnant, I'm a little hormonal, so. I said, does anybody have any idea what's going on in this poem? You know, blank stare, call it the Catholic blank stare. No, what's going on in the poem? I said, let me tell you what's going on in the poem, okay? The guy speaking in the poem wants to get laid, all right? He's talking to his girlfriend, and he's breaking it down for her. He's basically saying, I love you. If I had 1,000 years, I'd sit here and admire your tits, but I'm tired of waiting, okay? So do me, and do me now, because if you don't, you're gonna wind up an old, ugly, dead virgin. And the only thing poking at you, baby, is gonna be the worms when you are 6 feet under. Shall we read it again? And they're looking at me like this. But I realized that they're not really looking at me. They're looking over my shoulder at Sister Jean is in the doorway. Slowly I turn. Shit, it's Sister Jean. Morning, sister. She goes crimson from the collar up. Oh, well. So we're moving along to the next unit. We all break for Thanksgiving. We come back for Christmas. And now it's time for Hamlet. And I'm bound and determined to get these kids to like Shakespeare. So I introduced the play. I said, this is a great play. It's got more lies, deception, incest, evil, murder than any Danielle Steele novel that you've been reading on the beach in the summertime. And we don't want to read Shakespeare. So I said, look, you're going to love this. It's about a guy that goes, gets called home from college. His dad has died. Gets home to find out that his dad didn't just die, he was murdered. And now mom is boffing Uncle Claudius, you know, and it goes downhill from there because his college friends show up. All right? So I said, go home tonight, read Acts 1 and 2. So they come in the next morning, and they're blank. It's the Catholic blank. So I said, what do you think is going on in the play? You have any thoughts or questions? And somebody, you know, they raises their hand. Can't we just read Danielle Steele? And I said, no. And we don't like it. We don't understand the language. And I said, the little tiny print at the bottom is called footnotes. Did you check those out yet? You know? They could help you. No, we don't understand. So I got angry, kind of like in a fit of hormonal unfortunateness. I started yelling. I said, look, we're going to read this friggin' play, okay? I'm going to write a study guide that you're going to pick up this afternoon before you go home. And before you come down here after lunch tomorrow, I want you to have something to say, okay? Now get out of here. They leave. I write the study guide. Question one. In Act 1, Scene 2, Hamlet and Ophelia are hanging around play practice. Ophelia has her head in Hamlet's lap, and she's crying. Hamlet invites her to give him a blowjob. What's going on? Question 2. In Act 2, Scene 3, Hamlet goes out and gets his drunk on with a ditch digger and ends up talking to a skull. What's on his mind? Question 2, Part B, if this were your college boyfriend, at what point would you be tempted to call college mental health services, okay? Question 3, in what ways do Rosencrantz and Guildenstern resemble John Belushi and Chevy Chase? Cite from the text. Question 3, Part B, are they gay? Question 4, throughout the play, Hamlet is way too concerned with mummy's sex life. Is that okay? And finally, near the end of Act 4, Hamlet goes up to mommy's bedroom. What ultimately happens to the poor son of a bitch behind the curtain, okay? So the next day I'm in my classroom, the girls have received this, theory we're studying this at night, they come back and I'm in the classroom having lunch and there's a knock at the door. And I turn around and it's Sister Jean. And she's all crimson from the collar up. And I said, hi, Sister Jean. She goes, Maureen. The girls are in the cafeteria, and they're reading Hamlet. And I said, oh, good, the girls are doing their work. And she starts to shake, and she goes, Maureen, at this point, the whole goddamn school is reading Hamlet. I'm just back from the library, and sisters Anna and Marie were at fisticuffs getting the last copy. That was some study guide you wrote. I said, sister, I didn't write the play. I'm just here to deliver it, okay? So now the year's winding down, and I'm completely suspect, and the girls don't want to do any more work. They're just all about, let's name the baby. What color is the nursery going to be? And during the last week of school, as some kind of penance, Sister Jean had assigned me to cover for the science teacher who was out on extended leave. And her science labs were way down in the basement. So every day last period, I had to bring the girls down to do science, and the science teacher had left a stack of videos on Charles Darwin, narrated by Richard Attenborough. So every day we're watching the video. And the irony wasn't lost on me, okay? I'm the criminal upstairs teaching heinous themes in literature. This bitch is down here in the basement teaching evolution to a bunch of Catholic girls? Come on. So we did this the second day, third day. So now it's the day before the last day of school, and I'm real pregnant. And I had an appointment with my OBGYN, and I went, and I asked my doctor to do me a favor, and he did. So I go to school the last day, the last period, and I brought all the girls downstairs to the lab, and they started to get the video equipment out, and I said, no, not today. Follow me. So the girls followed me. We went into one of the science labs, and I kind of crawled up onto one of the tables, and I pulled my shirt up, and under the table I had a bag, and I got the bag out, and it was full of stethoscopes. And so I gave everybody a stethoscope, and I said, girls, we've spent a long year together, and I'd like to introduce you to my daughter, Catherine. Go ahead. And I just laid back for a few minutes, closed my eyes, and they did, and they could hear it. And I opened my eyes a few minutes later, and all the girls were smiling, and they had tears in their eyes. And I got tears in my eyes, and they all went off and graduated, and I went home and raised a family, and I don't know what those girls will ever remember about Andrew Marvel or William Shakespeare, but I'm pretty sure that they'll never forget their last day of high school.